summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Stephen. Let's focus with global markets and oil this morning. All eyes are on the OPEC's annual gathering happening at Vienna, and it is likely to dominate the market tone for the week. Can we actually expect some real and meaningful decisions to happen in this particular meeting?
Yeah, good morning, Abraham. Yes, the market's focus will be on the OPEC meeting November the 30th. An expectation is running right now that we will see some form of a token cut as far as the meeting goes. Now, you know, it's, what that'll do to oil prices, well, I think the OPEC ministers are trying to get oil in between this Goldilocks zone between $50 and $60, where it's high enough to increase the revenue of the oil producers, but would not trigger off the wave of shale oil producers in the U.S., because that's the overriding concern. If oil prices breach a certain level, and the number in the sand right now is around 60, that will cause more supply to come back to the market and pretty much eliminate what basically Saudi Arabia's been trying to do over the past year, which was to basically bankrupt these shale oil producers. Now they seem like they're reversing tack and possibly allowing them back into the market.
We have to expect that OPEC members need the help of non-OPEC members to make this work, including Brazil, Mexico, and the biggest culprit of them all, Russia. Do you think that non-OPEC countries will play ball with OPEC nations?
I think this time around, I think the concessions on the table aren't too dramatic. And I think as opposed to a cut in Russia, we just may see a supply freeze. So I think under the way it's being tabled right now, I think it's possible. A strong possibility that they will come to the table. However, you know, the big elephant in the room continues to be the shale oil producers, and really without the backing of the U.S. massive producers, there's very, very little that can be done to prevent them from coming back online, producing at high levels, and curbing all what possible price action is going to be done from this current freeze.
Do you think that the U.S. dollar is going to take a severe impact, at least for this week, following this meeting?
Well, you know, the dollar's been trading on its own little tangent here, mostly driven by the expectations of higher interest rates and the stronger U.S. bond and higher inflation. Certainly, certainly oil prices will factor into the inflation equation. However, I don't see that as going to be the major driver for the U.S. dollar, although it will have some negative ramifications towards risk and as far as the equity market is concerned if oil prices come off, because we will see that natural progression into safe haven currencies like the yen perhaps. But I think over the longer term, I think the U.S. dollar, based on the expectation of U.S. interest rates to go higher, is still going to remain king of the hill.
What about emerging market currencies? Do you think they will rebound?
Yeah, it's very difficult because if we're looking at emerging markets as a whole, we can look at some of the reactions that the market went on last week. Look at the Turkish lira, for instance. In defense of the lira, the Turkish central bank hiked interest rates and the market had nothing to do with it, continued to sell the lira aggressively. And South Africa were under the threat of credit downgrades, so that should weigh negatively. Back home here, we're still dealing with not only the massive exodus of capital rotation coming out of the emerging markets in Asia Pacific as U.S. interest rates go up, but we're also starting to be concerned about the possibility of a disorderly depreciation of the RMB, which we don't know if that's going to be the equation. Plus, we're also having to deal with year-end, and year-end tends to be a little bit less liquid as far as the U.S. dollar concerns. So my fear is we could still continue on a downward spiral on emerging markets, and that would be amplified by year-end liquidity conditions that tend to be not optimal. So I'm still concerned not only about global EM, but more specifically about domestic Asia-Pacific emerging market.
The global market strategist at JP Morgan says that there is an improving growth outlook in the US, but with the potential political risk for trade to argue. Do you think that there's going to be a continued political risk now that Trump is going to shape his policy forward?
Yeah, I think as we come to better understand the worsening narrative around the trade protectionism, it'll give us more clarity. I think right now, what a lot of analysts are doing and a lot of the traders were actually doing, we're just making these assumptions that he's actually going to come through with a lot of the campaign rhetoric and turn that into policy. However, there's a lot of other issues in the background that make me view the protectionist stance not as aggressively as what the market's pricing in, primarily around the fact that especially this region has a high propensity to own U.S. debt. I don't see this as a bilateral negotiation in the sense that, okay, tit for tat, we're gonna weigh against each other's trade relationship. However, the overriding concern is the massive investors over in this region that are exposed to the U.S. debt market. If they decide to pull out, well, that's going to be extremely negative for the U.S. economy. So I think there's going to be some moderation in rhetoric as these policies actually come forward, and I think cooler heads are going to prevail.
Shifting our focus to Europe, there is a potential that the ECB might continue its bond buying program. Do you think that the euro could target parity against the US dollar if this happens?
Yes, I think the divergence, if that did occur, would definitely favor the US dollar in that regard. But you also have to think about Europe in the sense that we're coming up to a lot of election periods, a lot of elections, and we have the first test coming with the Renzi referendum next weekend, and that's in Italy. And you know, with the wave of populism that we're seeing in the world right now, and the waves of anti status quo sentiment, it's quite possible that we could see a complete reversal of political powers, a political shift in Europe. And this is actually quite worrisome because once you bring this political element in the game, coupled with the fundamental differential on interest rates, it actually could accelerate the euro spiral. So yeah, I think it's going to be a critical next 6 months for the euro. And I do see the possibility of it reaching our parity based on both those factors coming to the equation.
On December 5th, there will be a Euro area finance minister meeting. And this has triggered some comments from, say, for instance, the Greek Europe economy minister and putting some pressure on the IMF, asking whether or not the IMF must decide the Greek economy will recover with or without Greece bailout. Do you think topics like this will dominate the discussion for this week, at least in Europe?
Yes, I think so. I think what we're seeing is, one of the reasons why we've seen the gradual U.S. dollar sort of abate towards the weekend is just given the increase in political risk that's actually facing the market right now. And I think the euro is one of the issues, and I also think coupled with the U.S. And also, if you look at the idiosyncratic political issues that are going on regionally right now, you know, where people are getting out in mass and rebel and being anti-government spokespersons, we're seeing this carry through the globe right now. So I think right now people are a little bit uneasy as to what's going on globally with these new waves of populism. And I certainly believe with the headlines coming back on Greece and Club Med and the rest of the European political situation, I think that is coming front and center this week.
The anti-personality of capitalism is dead. Fidel Castro's death could mean many things to investors. What do you think he will bring to the markets, or his death brings to the market this week?
Well, I think there's two ways to look at it. You have to look at how the Republican government campaigned in Florida, which is one of the biggest anti-Cuban strongholds in the Miami area, and they basically came out and stated that they didn't want any connection whatsoever with Castro. Now, I understand that now his death is, now that Castro is gone, do the people still hold that negative bias? Are they going to be a little bit more tolerant of Cuba itself without Castro? Because he was just a political, in many, many people's minds, he was such an anti-democrat person that they didn't want anything to do with him. You know, I would think, given the campaign rhetoric, and I think this is also tied into this also global trade rhetoric, I think we may see some easing in these comments as cooler heads prevail. And it wouldn't surprise me to see the U.S.-Cuban economic relations open up gradually. I'm not expecting anything, any wave of bilateral trade to start tomorrow. But I think as we go further in and cooler heads prevail, especially in the Florida area and the Miami area, as cooler heads prevail, I certainly think opportunities could be some inroads that are made in those relationships.
Have a great week ahead. That was Stephen Innes, Senior Asia Pacific Forex Trader at Oanda.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.